Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Thursday to you. Hope that it's starting off well for you. It's a little wet, but not too cold out there. And I don't know about you, but around here, we've kind of entered into holiday mode. Fun 107 is on their holiday break, the Fun Morning Show. So there'll be days when I'm going to be the only one here in the morning in the entire building, but right now Gazelle's over there running their best of show, but it's just a lot more relaxed atmosphere. Wore a nice shirt today because somebody's coming by to do a story on me, but then, you know, next week, probably being here in sweatshirts and t-shirts and all that kind of stuff. Just a more relaxed way to end the year. I'm technically on vacation, but I'm still going to come in and do the show because letting everybody else take vacation time, use the fill-ins for them. And again, a reminder, we will be here every day except for Christmas Day. So the plan is for Christmas Eve at 6 p.m. We're going to switch over to Christmas music, and that'll go until 10 a.m. on Christmas Day so that you have music for when you're sitting around the tree on Christmas Eve and when you're opening gifts on Christmas morning, and then syndicated programming for the rest of Christmas, and we'll be back the day after. Except Barry. Barry's on vacation next week, but Brian Thomas and Paul Santos will be filling in for him. Yesterday was one of the most fun days that I've had at work, at least the morning part. After I got off the air, we had a couple of storage units filled with just old equipment, old stuff, computers that no longer work, old radio equipment that no longer works, or that's just outdated. And so it was time to just clean all of that out. So we contacted Ace Junk Removal, and they did a fantastic job of cleaning out those storage units like they, we were never even there. And they did all the work, took everything out, put everything in the truck, swept it all out, cleaned it. So it was like you had no idea that anybody had even been in those storage units probably for, I don't know, 30 years. We've had them at least 20 years, but probably even longer than that. But you would never have known. They made it look like nobody had ever been in those units. And we also filmed a fun video that will be released soon. And as soon as it is, we'll put it up on the WBSM Instagram and Facebook. We got to smash stuff. And that was a lot of fun. So I can't wait for you to see that. I can't wait to see how it turned out. It's myself and Gazelle from Fun 107 smashing things. And he's, if you're not familiar, he's a very large man. I think he's 6'4", and he can swing a sledgehammer a lot better than I can, but I got a few licks in. So we'll see how that comes out. I'm sure he'll be the one you'll see more of in the video because he's got a better swing with those big, heavy sledgehammers. But if you need something cleaned out, they're the ones to call. Because not only do they do a fantastic job, but they made it fun, too. Now, you heard Phil mention the opioid crisis in the news. But there's also another story I want to point you to this morning. And WPRI has it, ABC6 has it, a number of national outlets has it. The U.S. Department of Justice has filed a lawsuit against CVS Health, accusing the drugstore giant of, this comes from WPRI, accusing the drugstore giant of filling prescriptions for controlled substances that, quote, lacked a legitimate medical purpose, according to Rhode Island's U.S. attorney, Zachary Cunha. It is a civil complaint that was unsealed Wednesday in federal court, and it alleges that the Woonsocket-based CVS violated the Controlled Substances Act by knowingly filling prescriptions for controlled substances that were invalid or not issued in the usual course of medical practice. So in the throes of the opioid crisis, going back to October 2013, according to this civil complaint, CVS was basically just filling any of these prescriptions. The prosecutors alleged that CVS unlawfully filled prescriptions, again, beginning in October 2013 through the present day, and Cunha said during the press conference, if you go into a pharmacy with a prescription that says, give me 50 pills of smack, and that's actually what's written on the prescription pad, the pharmacist has a legal obligation not to fill that prescription. CVS is a corporation, as a corporation, ignored repeated red flags that a large number of opioid prescriptions were not legitimate and should not have been filled. They accuse CVS of filling, quote, dangerous and excessive quantities of opioids, early fills of opioids, and Trinity prescriptions, an especially dangerous and abused combination of drugs made up of an opioid, a benzo, and a muscle relaxant. They did so in the face of doctors who were known pill mill prescribers. They did so in the face of doctors who were known to be responsible for overdoses, and they did so in response to prescription patterns that are known in the industry as inherently suspicious, Cunha said. CVS pushed back, calling the lawsuit a false narrative and noting that the company has been cooperating with the DOJ's investigation for more than 4 years. And in a statement, CVS spokesperson Kara Page said, we will defend ourselves vigorously against this misguided federal lawsuit, which follows on the heels of years of litigation over these issues by state and local governments, claims that already have been largely resolved by a global agreement with the participating state attorneys general. So basically saying, hey, you know, CVS cared more about profits over people, profits over patient safety, that they were filling these prescriptions when they knew that they shouldn't have been, and that they were... We're not just talking about, you know, somebody stealing a prescription pad from a doctor, which was a big part of the problem, is people were getting their hands on these prescription pads and just writing prescriptions and going to the pharmacy and getting them filled. And they would say, and one of the common tricks, from my understanding, is that people would steal the prescription pad, then they would go to a pharmacy that is not in that provider's area, so that they weren't familiar with whatever, you know, doctor's signature, handwriting, whatever. And then the claim would be, well, I had to go there to get an appointment because I couldn't get an appointment. It would have taken too long to get an appointment here locally. So I actually live here, but I had to get an appointment 45 minutes away. And it's not like CVS asks for proof of residency when you register for that location. So they just take whatever address you give them. So you just make up an address in that area to make it look like you live there. But this was an ongoing problem. And then on top of this, they're saying that CVS just didn't care. that they just cared about filling the prescription and making the money. As we know now from some of the reporting and lawsuits and everything else that's come out, there were kickbacks from the drug companies to the pharmacists, to the pharmacies. This sounds like, in this particular case, this was a CVS corporate decision, because there were pharmacy employees within CVS that were decrying this practice, that were warning corporate about what was going on. There was even a whistleblower involved in this. So it's, they were trying to warn corporate about what was going on, and corporate didn't care, according to the civil complaint and the way the prosecutors were framing it. But we've seen so much that has come out, and then, you know, we're at the point where there's been numerous dramatizations, numerous documentaries. We see how this was handled and how it was mishandled, and how just the prescribing of these medications led to this crisis. The opioid crisis didn't come about from people bringing drugs across the border. The opioid crisis didn't come about from people creating homemade meth labs. That's not what this, that's not how this crisis happened. This crisis happened through doctor prescribed pain management. The Sackler family getting rich off of a medication that eliminated the need to suffer through pain. Because people as human beings cannot deal with pain. Debilitating pain makes it hard to function. So if you say, we have a drug that will make the pain go away or lessen to the point where you can function like a normal human being, people will take that drug. And that's what happened. It wasn't drug addicts walking into a medical facility and saying, rather than get heroin, can you give me some of that oxy? It was the other way around. It was people going to a doctor for a legitimate reason, getting prescribed the oxy, and then eventually no longer being able to get more of that and moving on to heroin. So this was something that was hailed as a miracle drug that turned into an absolute nightmare. And it's still prescribed, by the way. It's not like as if the medication went away. It's just now we understand how easily abuse can happen, and it's much more controlled than it was before. And obviously with these incentives and these kickbacks and everything from the drug company, from Purdue Pharma, it was definitely culpability on their part for the way that they were handling things. But now all of that has been further regulated and scrutinized. But I still won't take it. They prescribed me oxycodone after my kidney removal, and I refused to take it. And I was in pain. I mean, I wasn't sitting there thinking I wanted to die. But at least in the initial outset, it was painful. It was difficult. The first time I got out of bed, it took me a few days to get up out of bed, which, you know, the hospital staff wanted me to get up pretty much the next day because part of your recovery from this is, you know, being able to get up and use the bathroom normally. And I was unable to do that. I couldn't physically get up. I think it was day 3 or 4 in the hospital that I was able to actually finally get up and move around. And day 3, I was able to get up and go to the restroom. I think it was day 4 when I actually went down the hallway. But it was significant pain, but it wasn't anything that I couldn't live with. We're talking about people who had pain that they couldn't even live with. And now that could be a combination of two things. It could be that the pain is so severe, or that they don't have the threshold for that pain. I kind of have a high threshold for pain. Like, I just always have. I don't take anything unless I absolutely have to, because I don't want to get to the point where it doesn't work anymore. But they prescribed that to me, and I was like, can I take something else instead? I also had a prescription for, you know, maximum strength Tylenol. So I just took those instead, and that did it. And when I got home, that's all I had to take. But they still do prescribe the medication that was a problem. They just are more careful with it now. And when they sent me home with the medication, because they did make me take it home just in case, they also gave me Narcan. And I got rid of the pills, kept the Narcan just in case. I don't know how long it lasts. I'll have to check it. But that's what they have to do now. They have to give you the Narcan with the medication in case there's an overdose. The only thing I've ever overdosed on in my life was vitamin C. I had a really bad cold, and I was working at the diner, and one of the customers said, you know, every time I get a cold, I just take some vitamin C pills, and within a day, it goes away, and I feel like no effects from it. It's like, oh, I'm going to try that. So I got some vitamin C pills and took those, and I was drinking a ton of orange juice, and I got way too much vitamin C in me. And when that happens, you might as well just reserve the bathroom for the next 24 hours. But this lawsuit, this civil complaint, we'll see how far it goes, but it's pretty significant. And maybe as we go forward here in the new year, we can get somebody on to come on and talk about this a little bit more in depth. Later today, though, we're going to talk about the homeless problem in New Bedford a little bit more in depth. And, of course, we'll take your calls throughout the show, 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails, both available on the WBSM app. I can announce today that we will have a contest. We're going to wait until the new year just to make sure that we have enough entries. You know, now it's people are getting busy. They're not thinking about it, so... But we'll launch this in January, beginning of January. But we're going to have a new contest for another great comedy show at the Veterans Memorial Auditorium in Providence, which is a fantastic venue. But Sarah Silverman is coming to the Vets. It's her post-mortem tour. And she'll be at the Vets on January 23rd. And we are going to have tickets to give away here on the program. If you've never heard Sarah Silverman's comedy, it can get very raunchy. It can get very offensive if you are easily offended. But it's also very, very funny. So we'll be giving those away in January. And, of course, all of our ticket giveaways here on the program are brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy. and where you can head out and get all of your holiday gift cards. Makes a great gift, whether it be, you know, something to give to somebody directly, or they have all kinds of great stuff for Secret Santas, for Yankee swaps, all of that. And you can get ornaments there that benefit the Fairhaven Veterans Center. So that's Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. And they are the proud sponsors of Tim's Tickets. Right now, I'm going to take a break. We'll be back in a few moments. 5 8 9 9 6 0 5 hundred. Kind of an anti-Christmas song from Sparks. Thank God it's not Christmas. And now it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Donald Trump says not so fast on a bill to prevent a government shutdown. The accused CEO killer headed back to New York, and a mega jackpot gets bigger.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President-elect Donald Trump is opposing the bipartisan funding bill that would prevent a government shutdown. Members of Congress announced Tuesday a deal had been reached to keep the government open until March 14th, but Trump and his running mate J.D. Vance have released a joint statement criticizing the bill, jeopardizing its prospects in the Republican-controlled House. The Dow Jones fell over 1,000 points on Wednesday. At the closing bell, the Dow lost 1,123 points. The S&P 500 lost 178 points. And the NASDAQ fell over 3.5%, dropping 716 points. The Federal Reserve cut interest rates by a quarter point Wednesday, but investors turned sour when they learned the Fed would likely cut rates only twice in 2025. Luigi Mangione is waiving extradition. Reports say he could be transferred from Pennsylvania and be back in New York City by today. He's facing murder and terrorism charges in the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. Israel and Hamas may be getting closer to a Gaza ceasefire deal. Reuters reports a Palestinian official said that mediators have narrowed gaps on most of the agreement's clauses. The outlet also reported CIA Director William Burns set to take part in ceasefire talks in Qatar. An agreement that would include the return of hostages held by Hamas in Gaza and Palestinian prisoners held by Israel reportedly could be signed in the coming days. The CDC confirms the first case of severe bird flu in the U.S. The agency said a patient was hospitalized in Louisiana. Data showed the patient was infected with a strain of the virus that was spreading in wild birds and poultry in the country. They were reportedly exposed to sick and dead birds in backyard flocks. And the already massive Mega Millions jackpot is rolling over again. Tuesday night's grand prize went unclaimed, making the next drawing coming up on Friday worth at least $825 million. Lottery officials say it's the largest Mega Millions jackpot that's ever been up for grabs in the month of December. The cash option works out to just over $382 million.
WBSM Sports.
Boston Celtics host the Chicago Bulls tonight at 7:30, and the Bruins visit the Edmonton Oilers tonight at 9.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Clouds clearing, to plenty of sunshine today, seasonable with highs in the low to mid 40s. On Friday, we're colder, reaching the mid to upper 30s. Rain and snow showers possible later on Friday. Just a coating expected here on the South Coast. And as for the weekend, we'll barely top freezing temperatures on Saturday, and it will feel very cold all the way into next week. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. That shows signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping.
That is Luscious Jackson with their version of Let It Snow, but let's hope that it doesn't. Like I said before, a little bit of dusting on Christmas morning is fine. You know, Christmas Eve into Christmas morning, if a little dusting falls, as long as it doesn't stick. Or you get, you know, just enough to have that little crunch on the ground when you walk out, but you don't want to have travel issues or flight delays or anything like that. I thought it was interesting when Santa Claus was in with us last Friday when he was talking about how his sleigh works its way through any kind of weather. A little bit of magic, a little bit of engineering. But it doesn't matter to him what the weather is like. He gets through it either way. So there's a story that I want to point your direction, because this is something that, as a lot of us are going to be spending more time at home over the next couple of weeks, perhaps, you should be aware that the coyotes are out in full force. It hasn't been too cold. They're out there looking for food, and they're out there, in some cases, I guess, being aggressive. Now, generally, you see a coyote, the coyote sees you, the coyote walks away. He doesn't want anything to do with you. But there have been a few instances lately in the news of people who have been attacked by coyotes. Of course, we have that story of the woman in Dartmouth who was bitten by a coyote back in September. It happened out on Old Fall River Road, and it happened on a Saturday afternoon at about 3:45 p.m. So 3:45 p.m. in September, it wasn't even dark out yet. And this coyote bit a woman, Kathy Normore. Now there's a story that a woman in Weymouth was attacked by a coyote Wednesday while she was outside with her two-year-old son. This happened, again, in Weymouth, and you can read about it in depth on WCVB and see some video. But she was playing with her child on the ground, and this coyote approaches and lunges after them and ends up biting this woman, Georgiana Orseno. She believes that the coyote was actually going for her son, but she got in the way. And the coyote kind of latched onto her. And this happened in the middle of the day. The coyote latched onto her, and she had to kind of like kick it up against a tree to get it to get off of her. And then it ran off. And neighbors reported that this coyote had apparently been acting strange. Now, this woman is obviously getting rabies shots as a precaution, because I guess they haven't found the animal yet. But as neighbors are saying, you know, we put our dogs outside. If the weather is slightly warm like it was yesterday, we want to be outside. And yeah, we have to learn to live with the wildlife that's around us, especially as a lot of this wildlife is making a comeback, as they say. But what they need to do, what people need to make sure they're doing, is limiting the reasons why these coyotes would want to hang around your neighborhood, such as food sources. just make sure that you don't leave anything out. You know, they'll pass through and move on unless you give them a reason to stay. And that drove me crazy with some of my neighbors who insisted on not only feeding their own animals outside, but leaving food out for wild animals. We had some stray cats in the neighborhood that I'm assuming came from, it was a very summer cottage heavy neighborhood. My guess is that people had pets that they brought for the summer. The pet escaped and they went home and said, well, next time we come back, you know, they'll be waiting for us at the door when we come back, Columbus Day weekend. But these cats just became stray cats wandering around the neighborhood. And people would put food out for them, and then the coyotes would come around. And I used to leave the house at, 5 in the morning to go to work, or just before. And you'd walk out and you'd see the coyotes in the front yard. I should say coyote. I don't think I ever saw more than one at a time. But there was one that would be out there in my front yard, and I lived on a hill. So this thing had to walk up this hill to get into my front yard. And he'd be in my front yard, probably about 30 yards away from me, probably less. And I'd have to walk to my car, and I would just kind of talk to him and say, all right, I'm going to work. You have a good day. And I would try to, make noise so that he would run away, and he would just kind of sit there and blink at me and be like, I don't care about you. This isn't about you. And then I would, text my wife and say, be careful when you leave to go to the school bus because there's a coyote hanging around. You just got to get used to dealing with them. But you also have to make sure you're not doing anything to entice them and to keep them around. But this is now two instances where these things have just attacked people out of nowhere. The woman in Dartmouth who was attacked said, she's a licensed gun owner, and she said she wouldn't be leaving the house anymore without a gun. Here, this woman thought she could just bring her 2-year-old son out into the front yard and play with him on a nice day in December. Wasn't planning on getting attacked by a coyote, but now she's undergoing rabies treatment. So yes, we do have to live with the wildlife that's around us, but we also have to understand that we need to keep it wild and not give it reasons to hang around. They should not want to be in our neighborhoods. They should not want to be where there's a lot of people. And if they are, it's because the people are giving them a reason to be. 508-996-0500. Got to take a break here. We'll be right back. And if you're not familiar with that, that is I Will Be Hating You for Christmas by Everclear. It was the hidden track on So Much for the Afterglow, their 1997 follow-up to their smash hit, 95 Sparkle and Fade. But I miss the days of hidden tracks. Remember that when you would play a CD all the way through and you would say, maybe there's an extra song that's not listed on the CD case. And sometimes it was numbered and sometimes it wasn't. So sometimes you'd be like, what? There's only 12 tracks listed on the CD, but I can go to 13. And other times it was you had to let the 12th track play all the way through, and this would be tagged on at the end. And then they got weird about it. Then they said, well, your CD is actually a CD-ROM, and if you put it in the computer, then you'll get a hidden track. That's too much work. I didn't have a computer until I got to college. So, no, too much work. But the hidden track was always fun because it was something you were never going to hear on the radio. It was something that you only could hear if you had the CD. I think was All By Myself by Green Day. Was that a hidden track on Dookie? I think so. The hidden track was always something that was something that they shouldn't really play. I think My World was a hidden track on Guns N' Roses, Use Your Illusion 2, if I remember correctly. But the hidden track, a lost art. Because nobody's listening to CDs anymore, and people who are buying physical media are buying vinyl. And you can count the rings. Unless they embed it at the end of the song, you're not getting hidden tracks. And now kids are getting into cassettes again. If you've got a cassette player, like if you still got a boombox somewhere in your home, if you still got a Walkman, any of those things, if you have them and if they work, you can get big money for those now. I walked into Savers one day and they had a not great boombox in there. Nothing special. And it was $75. I was like, I don't think this thing was $75 when it's brand new. But it was $75 because people want them again. And I understand people getting back into vinyl. I have vinyl. I get why people like that. I don't understand why people are getting back into cassettes, except for maybe nostalgia value, or if there's somebody that never dealt with them before, you know, it's kind of this unique thing. But you'll get tired of cassettes. Once they start pulling out on you, you know, you get the tape all over the place and you got to wind it up with a pencil. And do you even have a pencil laying around anymore? When you realize you've got to get a head cleaner and you got to run that through your cassette player every now and then. You got to demagnetize them. It's not as fun as you think that it is. At least with the VHS revival, I understand that because VHS, when you're watching the movie, has a certain feel to it. The tracking needing to adjust and, you know, you get those little muffled bits. Like, it has a feel. I haven't gotten back into watching VHS movies because I can't stand a standard definition picture. If I come in here into the studio and somebody's changed the channel on the TV here and put it on a standard definition channel, I'm like, why? Why would you be watching, you know, usually here it's Fox News. Why would you be watching Fox News anyway? But if you are, why would you put it on the standard definition? We have the high definition package. It is a high definition TV. So I haven't gotten back into VHS. But I keep thinking I'd like to watch an old horror movie on VHS. I still have a VCR. I would have to buy one of those adapters that they have now to be able to connect the VCR to an HDMI signal, but it's not going to make it high def. It just allows you to connect. And I had a TV that was capable of hooking up a VCR to it, and I threw it away because my storage unit is in the same place where the station's one was. So I was like, hey guys, while you're picking up all this stuff, can I give you the stuff that I got to throw away from my unit? And they took it all. Thanks to Waste Junk Removal for doing that. But I was thinking about it later. I was like, oh, that was the TV I was going to put the VCR on if I ever started doing that. But it's fine. Can find another one of those anywhere. But yes, the cassettes I don't get. Some of you are probably out there looking for a Walkman or a boombox for your kids' Christmas list. But I don't understand it. And I had so many cassettes and cassette players as a kid. And I didn't jump on the CD revolution until, I think it was 1993. Maybe even 94. I think it was Christmas of 93 I got my first CD player. But I still wasn't done with cassettes for a long time because my cars all had cassette players. And I drive around with a big, big cardboard box, an egg box from a restaurant, if you know what those are, full of cassette tapes. Most of them not even in the case. You just pull one out and pop it in and enjoy the ride. But man, I love being able to pick whatever song I want, build playlists, all that. I'm down for all of that. I don't know why cassettes made a comeback, but they have. And I'll be coming back right after this. And that's going to do it for this hour, but stay tuned. We've got...